Good morning. Welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church. Welcome to everybody that's online. And it is a cool and nasty morning here in Houston. We just have all kinds of rain, and it's going to rain all day. So we got a lot of wet people here. I figure we're just for the day, we may become Methodists, and just everybody got sprinkled this morning. So we're in good shape. We're going to sing some songs this morning and just praise the Lord. And thank you all people for coming out in this. This was not a pleasant day to be out and going, but I'm trying to get my hands warmed up. And let's sing a few songs. We'll do one that I think everybody knows. I didn't used to like this song, but when Jesse got a hold of it with me, we kind of made it fun. So go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds hear and tremble when low above the earth. Ring out the angel chorus that hail the Savior's birth.
Thank you.
parts of these. Some of them we kind of hummed through some of them. Wednesday night, 6:30, it'll be the same Zoom meeting ID that we had this past Wednesday night, and we will do the approval of the 2011. No.
Go.
It's going to be one of those days, I can tell. Yeah. 2021, let's try
there
that.
There you go.
Although I look like I'm still in 2011, I know those 10 years have not aged me one bit. Although y'all, when you sang the song last week, you reminded me it did. So I'm sorry that wasn't online. The whole world should have watched that. And I could have used that to bribe many a people to put that on Facebook for the whole world to see. You know, Gilbert singing a duet with his wife and Jack singing a solo and Andy Robert. That was just awesome. So it was good. I appreciate that. Do what?
And Curtis.
Yes, and Curtis, yeah. Curtis is home. He got quarantined because all of his office has COVID, about four of them. He does not yet, but he's at home. And my son's at home in Nashville trying to get over it, him and his wife and my two grandchildren. So, yeah, COVID. And I appreciate you. Pray for me. I'm not doing well this morning. Got here and I've been over and blood just poured out of my mouth. And
we're barely getting any audio, just so you know.
Right after the meeting, I'm going to go by the hospital and see what's going on. So I just want to make sure I'm wiping. If you see blood, somebody say, hey, Greg, there's blood. So those are the days you're supposed to wear dark. Or light. So anyway. I don't know, is anything else happening as far as if you have not seen the thank you for all the prayers and the cards and the emails and the text, and I do want to say thank you for the loving family we have here. We just don't understand. Some churches have church. Our church is church, and it's a little different. We don't just have the ritual. We have the experience, and I love our church and what we have. Christmas Eve will be at 7 o'clock here, and it'll probably be in this room, so don't get all excited, but we have to get electric out there. I know we can do it without bathrooms out there, but I can't do it without electric. Even though it's candlelight, we do need electric, so it's probably going to be in here because I don't think electric. It may be up and running by then, but it'll be close. We're waiting for some inspections to be done to get that ordered in. So that'll be Christmas Eve, 7 p.m., and we will have communion that night. And make sure you come prepared and ready to do that. And that's probably, out of all the services, one of my favorite services of the year. So if you can, we'll have it as safe as we can in here, and we'll try to even widen up the place a little bit to allow more people to sit in here. And we will be live. I need to talk to you about that, Don, too. Christmas Eve. To get us on the schedule so we can be live on BBS Radio too, just in case you can't get out, or be a neat thing to gather around the TV with all your family too and watch it if you can't be here live. So thank you for that. We're going to have the ushers come forward. If you haven't thought about your year-end giving, and you need to do some things for taxes and all of that thing. And if you have great capital gains, because the stock market just went crazy this year, which has been a wonderful year if you've been in the stock market and your 401ks and all those things. The next quarter will be another wonderful quarter, probably the best quarter in our economic history, to about March. And then I would gird your loins. But after that, for the next few months, we have it. But at the end of the year, some people like to give. Just letting you know, by the end of the year on the 31st, at midnight, we will cut that off. Glenna will religiously, it needs to be postmarked if it's mailed in. But for those final gifts, we would love to be able to help that with the building and some of the things we have to do to finish that up out there. Folks, we're getting close. I know I've said that for 18 years, but we're getting close, and it's getting exciting back there. And I think you're going to see some things this week and next week that'll be even more exciting. So if you can help us out, we sure would appreciate it. York, you dry? You wasted a good shower this morning, didn't you?
I'm all wet.
You're all wet. Well, we knew that a few years ago. Come right on up here, and if you can lead us in a word of prayer, I sure would appreciate it. Let's pray.
Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us into another new day of life. And we just thank you, Father, and we praise your almighty name of who you are. And we thank you, Father, for the way that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to earth to die for our sins, that whoever would believe in him not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you, Father, for this group. Thank you for all this people that are on Zoom, and we thank you for the technology that you've given us. We thank you, Father, that there are so many that weren't able to attend, but we know that they're there, and we'll hear your message this morning through your servant, Pastor Greg. I pray for him, lift him up to you, Lord. I ask that, that you just be with him, protect him, look over him, and I pray that the doctors will be able to figure out what's wrong with him. And I just ask that you will just bless him completely, Lord, and heal him, whatever is ailing him. And Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the for this time together again. And I ask that you would bless these gifts and these blessings. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. child is
good singing. Just want to let everybody that stayed at home, the good-looking ones showed up today. That's all I have to say. The good-looking ones are here. I'm not saying anything personal, but the pretty ones showed up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. We've been looking at Christmas. I always try to catch my breath is what I try to do. Look at Christmas differently each year, and tell you what, that's not an easy task to do when you've been doing this 40 years. Yeah, it seems like 80. The first Sunday in December, we talked about, I think, the unexpected interruptions in our schedule that God uses. And we saw all that through the Christmas story, as nobody had planned this to happen in any of their lives. And it just happened to Mary and Joseph. And I think we talked about Elizabeth and, you know, all that back then. Then last week, anybody remember last week?
We were here.
Yeah, thank you. I knew you was because I could hear you snoring. We talked about people. God uses unexpected people. And all the way through, I think that's one of the most beautiful things that the Christmas story does for me anyway, is it explains to me that if he can use a teenager, if he can use a regular carpenter, if he can use shepherds that wasn't the most prestigious employment back then, wasn't the cleanest of all time. Chances are he can maybe use somebody that's kind of cruddy like me. And through that, all we found out last week was the reason a miracle happened in and through their lives was because of one thing, obedience. They heard the story. They got the visit by the angels. Okay. I'll do that. And I hope you take this personal, because I think God has something for you. And all you have to do is say, okay, and go ahead and pull out the excuse box if you want to. But he'll say, I knew that when I called you to do it. And I'm going to use that to bless people through it. Now today, we're going to talk about how God uses his promises different than what we ever thought he would. His promises. And I want you to see this. This is kind of deep. I got a little bit of time. I'm going to take my time so I don't get all winded. But we're going to be in Luke 2. So you can find Luke 2. But kind of the premise of the entire Christmas series, if you want to say it, is in Isaiah 55. And you just write that down, verse 8. Luke 2, Isaiah 55, 8. Luke 2 is actually the Christmas story. You know, we expect, and I hope you're just, I wish we were just all at the house, so we just all kind of sit on couches and just talk a little bit, because I'd love to get your feedback on this. We expect God's promises to be very orderly, to be very predictable, to be in a very linear fashion, to be exactly osmos, to where, you know, we know exactly how he's going to do it. Why do we expect that? Because we try to do that our own way. We try to have everything planned out and do it the way it's supposed to be. And once again, when you look at the Bible all the way through from the beginning to the end, so from the beginning of creation all the way to the end, that isn't the way the biblical pattern falls. That God's promises sometimes just doesn't come the way we expect them to do. From our limited perspective, God sometimes haphazardly brings things to pass. it's not as orderly as what sometimes I expect. A lot of times, do what?
I said, ain't that the truth?
It is. And a lot of times, it sometimes even feels random. Like, why did that happen then? Why is that happening now? Let's be honest, for everybody that's watching too online. Didn't you have a plan for your life? Didn't you have a plan for retirement? Didn't you have a plan for that last job that you got maybe when you was 35 and you thought, this is the one. I'm going to put my 25 years in and retire. And then all of a sudden, life happens. And you're sitting next to a chair by yourself. You've done your last, maybe third job in the last 5 years. Nothing's what you expected it would be. And I want you to see how this works in God's plan, because from the beginning of time, his promises are sometimes different than what we expect. Because in Isaiah 55:8, write it down, I'll read it to you. We read this the last 2 weeks. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Who says this? Says the Lord. My ways are so far beyond anything than you could even imagine. The birth of Jesus, the Christmas story, is certainly the same kind of case. There is nothing about this story that plays out in any way what we would have planned. I would have had the executive suite at the Ritz-Carlton in Bethlehem available, reserved for the King of Kings birth, or the fanciest hospital room at Baylor College of Medicine or Texas Children's Hospital, or you pick one of those ones you like. Just don't pick the one that I don't. Just reserved for the immaculate bringing on of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords into this world. But it didn't come. But God fulfilled his promise. And there's a couple of these key things you need to write down. God fulfilled his promises of a Savior radically different than how we would expect it to happen. Luke 2, verses 1 through 4, but keep it open because we're going to go all the way to 7. And if you're there, say, oh, yeah. Same at home. You can do it together. Luke 2, 1 through 4. At that time, the Roman emperor decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken. Aquarius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. Huddle up. Point one. God will use world events to accomplish his plan. We need to know that right now. You think it's out of control. You think everything is just a mass disarray of all kind of confusion. I want to let you know, God will use the world events to let his promise become a reality. He'll never let that. God never went, uh-oh, didn't expect that one. Uh-oh, didn't expect Trump to lose. Uh-oh, I didn't expect COVID to hit. I thought it'd be only a month or two. Uh-oh, he's never done that. He will use the events to fulfill his promises into the utmost picture of what he had in mind from the beginning of time. So he is still in control, and we've hammered this more times than not, but sometimes you need to understand, oh no, what are we going to do? I'm out of control. I don't know what's going to happen. And then, oh, please, Then we get all of these emails from every executive at every hospital in the Texas Medical Center. The Savior has come. The vaccine's on the semi. Just hang on to your britches. We are finally out of the woods. And thanks for playing. That's not the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ and God, and his plan will be fulfilled through it. Now, I'm sure that Mary and Joseph weren't excited about taking an 80-mile walk to Bethlehem, which would take about 4 or 5 days. For me, 10 to 15. But for them, 4 or 5 days journey while she's pregnant. Anybody care to volunteer that thought? I don't think so. Amber had a beautiful little baby, Carl and Amber, this week. But I can't imagine being a week or two away from birth. Mm-hmm. Said, hey, let's walk to Houston and back. Probably longer than that. That's probably be farther than that, 80 miles. A, under number one, God is in charge of all the world events. What seems random to us and chaotic as world events appear to us, God's in charge of exactly what's taking place. This census would have hardly been perceived by Mary and Joseph as, hey, good, we get to travel. Let's go on a vacation. It would be like, oh, wait, I didn't want this to happen. But there's always a bigger picture that we need to see in life. And you've heard this line more than once. It's not about you. Mm-hmm. It's not about me. If you can't see what's going on in the world right now, isn't starting to lay down its plans in the blueprint of prophecy for the Lord Jesus to come again to gather his church, you need to take the scales off your eyes because it's being laid out right now. We are part of the end. I really believe that. I've always said I thought my sons would probably see the rapture. I'm not for sure about that yet. Of course, none of us know, but I may get to see it the way things are lined out because everything's starting to kind of form that puzzle of, wait, we can see the picture now. Can you not see one person stand up right now and go, I got an idea that'll solve all these world problems. And all of us lay down and go, that's the man. That's the Antichrist setting up to answer all the world problems. When have you ever seen on the face of the earth everybody, every nation, every country, every town, everywhere looking to try to solve one problem? I don't remember one. I don't remember something that has taken that kind of massiveness. And all it would take is somebody to stand up and go, I have a plan. Follow me and we'll get you through this. And then everything goes into order. And then hopefully the church is raptured out of here and we get to watch it from heaven on a big screen. But God's in charge of world events. God needed. You said, wait. You mean God needed? Yeah. God needed to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Because if they stopped off at Sugar Land and have the baby, that one prophecy wouldn't have been fulfilled. Mm-hmm. They made it to Friendswood. That one prophecy wouldn't have been fulfilled. And we could say, wait, that's not Messiah. Because it wasn't. But then he had to come up with a way to get them there. Now, God is God. An angel could have came through with a wonderful golden chariot and go, hop in. Mary and Joseph are taking a ride. Just room right there. But they didn't. God used the world around them. God used kings. God used Congress, wicked or good, and planned. Let's tax these son of a guns. Every one of them. And God says, yeah, now they got to go back home. That'll get them to Bethlehem. This census was also a recorded world event. Historians, archaeologists have discovered ample evidence that this census took place. That gives it credibility. That gives it to all these scientists that are trying to say this baby didn't happen. It wasn't there. It was someplace else. This is all a joke. It's all a fable. They can find it in history that this was exactly the time that it was called upon to do. Just because we can't connect the dots of the world events doesn't mean that God can't connect the dots, because he has. He always has. And he's always going to, even when the devil thinks he's throwing some extra dots out there. God said, I knew you'd do that. Go ahead. I'm going to use that for my glory. B under number one, world events move God's agenda forward. Just because it's frightening. Just because it's depressing, just because it's discouraging, doesn't mean that it doesn't move God's plans forward. I want you to see that. And we're talking about world events right now. We're going to break this down to you in a minute. God was using the most powerful world leader at the time to set the stage for the birth of baby Jesus. He was using the world leader at the time to prepare the world for the baby. Isn't that awesome how God did that? It wasn't just planned. It wasn't just something he came up with in the backyard of somebody's house. He had the king declare it. God's up there going, yeah, you do that, that'll get them there. Thank you. And it happened. Sometimes we get caught up so much and worked up on what's going on in world events that we often try to always interpret what we think it means. The truth is, it's impossible to predict it. I could have given 3 weeks' salary last year at this time and said, you think we'll have a pandemic next year that's just going to wipe people off the face of this earth, keep us from being in church for months? Nobody's, Craig, you're drinking way too much Diet Mountain Dew. It's affected your brain. But God had a plan. Psalm 2:1. People try to alter God's agenda, and they can't change what God already ordained. Psalm 2:1 says, why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? Psalm 2:4, but the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. In Isaiah 40:15, no, for all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales. ISIS didn't get God excited. Putin doesn't even make God's blood pressure go up one decimal. What China's doing? Nah. COVID? Nope. God's got it all under control. Let's keep going because I don't want to hammer that too long. That was the first thing. Number two, God uses, because this is going to bring it down to us, God uses major inconveniences to accomplish his plans. So he can use world events, and he can use major inconveniences. Luke 2, keep hanging in there, 4 and 5. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now, I love this in the NLT, obviously pregnant. She wasn't just chubby. She was obviously pregnant. You ever done this? Met somebody in the hallway you haven't seen? I didn't know you was expecting. And they go, I'm not. I've done that once or twice. That's not a pleasant place to be. But here, God is saying in his Christmas story, she was obviously not just pleasantly plump. She was pregnant. It was there, obviously. You want to talk about inconvenience? How do you like to make that trek, that hike? Riding a donkey. Can't even imagine. I've been on a donkey before. Anybody been on a donkey? Remember those donkey basketball games? You guys ever have donkey basketball games in Texas? Oh, I love those. You get on the donkey and then, you know, they all have different things. And you get going with the ball and you're trying to make the basket. And then the referee that had all these donkeys trained would do something. That donkey would stop and you'd go run off it. And I love donkey basketball. But can you imagine being 8, 9 months pregnant and hopping on a donkey? I don't think so. I don't think so. Chances are she probably walked. Under inconveniences God uses, just because something's inconvenient doesn't mean it's not God's plan. Ouch. Church, hear this. Just because it's inconvenient doesn't mean it's not God's plan. One day in heaven, we'll look at all the inconveniences that we have dealt with just within our church body and go, Lord, why did you make us go through that? What did we do wrong? I have been on my knees crying my eyes out, asking God to forgive me because I must have done something that caused this to be delayed. And God said, wait, these inconveniences sometimes are part of my plan. So think about your own life. What inconveniences are you going through? What things have you not planned? Just because we assume that something gets hard, something gets difficult, something gets inconvenient, we must assume it couldn't have been anything that God had intended. But in case of Mary and Joseph, it was certainly what God didn't have intended. Are you kidding? It was exactly what God had intended because it was the plan. It was the plan. If we would have been in that building 3 years ago, we wouldn't be as close as we were now. We wouldn't have the faith that we have now. We wouldn't have the kinship that we have now. We would have taken for granted how easy it was. Hire the right team, we're done. It's not that easy sometimes. It's definitely not that easy sometimes in your life. How many times have you come across an obstacle with what you thought you had planned, and then it becomes so difficult? And you go, okay, this is becoming a pressure point with me, kind of causing me stress. So this must not be of God. Don't give up on that plan. If God called you to the plan, he will get you through that plan, I promise. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9 goes like this. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Sounds like some pretty inconvenient times, huh? But God is still accomplishing his plan. I promise you that. the second point under this point. Inconvenience is an opportunity for you to trust God. I did not expect my life to be like this when I was 50. I don't even know how old I am. 57. Didn't see it. Didn't see it coming. Matter of fact, I would have swore it wouldn't be like this. Inconvenience causes us an opportunity. It provides us an opportunity to say, God, I can't do this. I need to trust in you. When things get tough, it's not time to doubt. It's not time to retreat. It's not time to get critical. It's an opportunity to trust God anyway. That's what Mary and Joseph had to do, and that's what he expects us to do too. Numbers 11:1. Some people begin to complain about their hardships, and the Lord heard everything they said. Israel, their issue, Israel after time, Israel complained in the desert, complained about the food, complained about the lack of water, complained about the leadership. Who hasn't done that here? And don't nobody raise your hand, because I know you have. They complained about the roles and their responsibilities in the plan. Complaining is the opposite of trusting. Complaining is the opposite of trusting. Complaining never helps you follow Jesus anymore or any better. Complaining never blesses anyone around you. 2 Corinthians 1:8 and 9. We think you ought to know, dear brothers, dear sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed beyond our ability to endure. We thought we would never live through it. Been there, done that? But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God. There it is. Last point, and I think I have 5 minutes. Y'all with me still? I've lost a couple of you. We can let you out early and just go out and get wet. Still raining, Finger? No. Okay, well, I'll get down here quick. God knows none of you need to get wet again. Luke 2, let's finish it up. 6 and 7. And while they were there, they came for her baby. The time came for her baby to be born. There's Jesus. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. God uses closed opportunities to accomplish his plan. Closed doors are God's way of sometimes directing our lives. Even though closed doors don't make sense to us, like no rooms being available for the birth. And I'm sure it was hard for them to go, God, how could you do this? We said we'd be obedient to you, and then you pull this? That was God's plan. That was why God had ordained. The reality, and I have to finish up, is God is simply using closed doors as a means to fulfill his plan in your life. He uses closed doors to do that. Last thing, under number 3, closed doors reflect God's loving provision. Often we conclude just the opposite. When something doesn't happen in the way that we expect it to happen, God must not love me. I'm guilty of that. What did I do wrong? What do I need to ask forgiveness for? The reality from God's perspective is that when he refuses to allow us to pursue something, it is actually his love for us at work. So we don't get it when we think we deserve it. It's actually him saying, Greg, I didn't let you have it then because you couldn't handle it then. It's my love protecting you from your massive ego, from your unbelievable pride, from your nutty cockiness, from whoever you think you are instead of depending. It's me loving you one more time to give you a chance to understand. Give me the glory. Give me the glory. Give me the glory. And I personally don't care what anybody thinks when they walk in to our building here or our building there, unless they feel God's love first. Because if we lose this, I don't care if we have marble, everything. If we have gold urinals, and I haven't ordered those yet. If they don't feel the love, we miss it all. We miss it all. And it's God's love sometimes keeping us from doing it. Don't get caught up on that. Last verse, Romans 8:28. Because we know that everything, God causes everything to work together for the good of those who want top notch. No. Those who want and are called to love God, called according to his purpose for them. For those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. Something inconvenient in your life, something interrupting your plans, something just isn't going the way you think it ought to. This is the time to seek God, because he's saying, now is the time I want to have your attention so I can fulfill my plan exactly the way I intended for it to be fulfilled in your life right now, in the middle of interruptions, in the middle of unordinary people. Not extraordinary, just kind of, He can still fulfill his promise right in the middle of it. Dear Lord, we come to you and I thank you for your word. I thank you for the story, and however many times we can read it, we still pull life out of it. Lord, be with each person and family represented here, each person and family, Lord, that's on this internet right now, watching this online. Lord, those promises can come true in their life from you in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of a lost job, in the middle of a broken relationship, in the middle of so many broken dreams and hurts and pains. Lord, your plan can still be fulfilled. And may we realize it and draw closer to you, Lord, because all things work together for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. We give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen and amen. God bless you, and thank you for joining us this week. See you next week for another edition of Faith Springs Live. Thank you all for coming. Stay dry. Be careful going home. God bless. I love you all. God bless you.